We know we are God's children. Worship Him only. Guard yourselves against idols. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are your children and that you give us understanding and that we may know you, for you are true, and we are in you and in our biggest brother, Jesus Christ. We worship you only and we guard ourselves against idols. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 1 John 5, 19 to 21, TPT. We know that we are God's children and that the whole world lies under the misery and influence of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has made our understanding come alive, so that we can know by experience the one who is true. And we are in him who is true, God's Son, Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. So, little children, guard yourselves from worshipping anything but him. Well, there are a number of nuggets in this scripture. One is that we know we are God's children. Two, that God has given us understanding. Three, that we are in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the true God and eternal life. And that we need to guard ourselves from worshipping anything but him. How do we know that we are children of God? Well, there are two clues. One's in Romans 8:15 in KJV. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Another one in Galatians 4:6 in KJV. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So that establishes how we know that we are God's children. Now, Abba isn't a real English word. Abba is of Aramaic origin, meaning father, whereas Av is of biblical Hebrew origin, also meaning father. Or in our culture, it would be dad or daddy. Now, a lot of people have put the word daddy into disrespect, which to me is like water off a duck's back. I do not subscribe to that disrespectful way of referring to daddy. To me, my dad was my hero in my younger day, and I didn't call him Abba, I called him Daddy. And so a true English translation would have said Daddy Father, not Abba Father. But many believers have cottoned on to the Aramaic translation of Daddy being Abba, and so we have become used to referring to our loving Heavenly Father as Abba Father. It's generally accepted that since the Babylonian invasion of Israel, Aramaic was the common home language of the Israeli people, and Hebrew was used for scripture and prayers and other religious activities. Another gem is to worship only God and to protect our hearts, to guard our hearts against idols. There are clear instructions about worshipping only God in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4-7, Amplified. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, the only God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, your entire being. These words which I am commanding you today shall be written on your heart and mind. You shall teach them diligently to your children, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truths, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So early on in Israel's history, God's commands were to be written on their hearts. It is only later when Moses came around where their law was written on stone. And now in the New Covenant, we need his laws and his words to be written on our hearts once again. Warning against idol worship comes in Exodus 34, verse 14, Amplified. For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous, impassioned God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely his. I want to reread verse 21 of our scripture in Amplified, 1 John 5, 21. Little children, that's believers and dear ones, guard yourselves from idols, that's false teachings, moral compromises, and anything that would take God's place in your heart. Jesus put this into practical perspective in Luke 14, verse 26, TPT. When you follow me as my disciple, you must put aside your father, your mother, your wife, your sisters, your brothers. It will even seem as though you hate your own life. This is the price you'll pay to be considered one of my followers. Remember the old King James Version said, hate your father, your mother, etc. This word hate is not actually the word hate that we understand it of disliking intensely. That hate just means love less than Jesus, God, our Father, our Heavenly Family. And TPT it says put aside, in other words, as I say, love them less than you love Jesus. Verse 20 of our scripture, it mentions the understanding that comes alive so that we can know by experience the one who is true. And it adds that we are in him who is true, that's God's Son, Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. The fact that Jesus is God and always has been is reflected in John 1 verse 1 in KJV. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same verse in the TPT reads as follows. In the beginning, the living expression was already there, and the living expression was with God, yet fully God. So they refer to Jesus as the living expression of God. In other words, the way we can, the physical living being that was visible to the human eye, that was touchable and people could speak to him and listen to him in the physical realm on a day-to-day basis, eye to eye, face to face, in the flesh. That's when he lived on planet Earth as a human being, fully God and fully human. Jesus says so himself in John 10 verse 30 in KJV, I and my Father are one. So here we see quite obviously that God the Father and God the Son are one. And God the Holy Spirit makes the rest of the spiritual family. A bit of context for that statement, John 10 verse 27 to 30, TPT. My own sheep will hear my voice and I know each one and they will follow me. I give to them the gift of eternal life, and they will never be lost, and no one has the power to snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who has given them to me as his gift, is the mightiest of all, and no one has the power to snatch them from my Father's care. The Father and I are one. So we need to remember that Jesus Christ, our biggest brother and bestest friend, was truly human. Fully human, and he was truly God, fully God, 100%. And so when he was tempted and when he suffered, he experienced that pain and suffering completely as a human being. But because he was also fully God, he was able to resist temptation 100% and live the perfect life. And that's why he could offer himself as the perfect sacrifice to take the punishment for our wrongdoing and our pride and our anger and our self-righteousness and all those things that we do or do not do, so that he could rescue us from the inevitable result of our sinful nature that we were born into. And that sinful nature permeates the world, as you can see in verse 19 of our scripture. Everyone who is not a child of God is under the misery and influence of the evil one. Redemption from this evil age is mentioned in Galatians 1 verse 3 to 5. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And so yes, this world can be a nasty place. There are things happening. And as we get closer and closer to the end times, it might even get worse. Bad things do happen to good people. And when we face life, we might face difficult circumstances. And we might cry out to God in our circumstances and ask him to deliver us from this present evil age. And he does come through for us, but he doesn't necessarily take us out of it. The prayer that Jesus himself prayed suggests this in John 17, verse 15 to 17. I am not asking that you remove them from the world, but I ask that you guard their hearts from evil, for they no longer belong to this world any more than I do. Your word is truth, so make them holy by the truth. So Jesus, in his prayer for us, his disciples, does seem to suggest that we're not going to be removed from difficult circumstances in this world, but that God will guard our hearts from the evil that is trying to destroy us. Remember, we have the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and we are under the New Covenant. And that is pointed to in Galatians 4, verse 26 in KJV. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. And a bit of background to that is the surrounding verses, Galatians 4, verse 21 to 28, amplified. Tell me, you who are bent on being under the law, do you not listen to what the law really says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, that's Hagar, and one by the free woman, that's Sarah. You'll see that in Genesis 16, verse 15, and Genesis 21, verse 2 and 9. But the child of the slave woman was born according to the flesh and had an ordinary birth, while the son of the free woman was born in fulfillment of the promise. Now these facts are about to be used by me as an allegory, that is, I will illustrate by using them. For these women can represent two covenants. One covenant originated from Mount Sinai, where the law was given, that bears children destined for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is or represents Mount Sinai in Arabia, and she corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above, that is the way of faith, represented by Sarah, is free. She is our mother. For it is written in the scriptures, Rejoice, O barren woman who has not given birth. Break forth into a joyful shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate woman has many more children than she who has a husband. That's from Isaiah 54, verse 1. And we, believing brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children not merely of physical descent like Ishmael, but are children born of promise, born miraculously. I just want to touch again on worshipping only God. The church, the believers, have been referred to as the bride of Christ. Now, a bride is someone who is getting married to the bridegroom. And from a human point of view, we look at that as romantic love. And romantic love, from my point of view, is totally selfish. I don't want to share it with anybody. I want the guy that I marry to be in love with me and nobody else. And I want to be in love with him and nobody else. The agape love is the love that we love everybody. And the filial love is the friendship love that we love a number of people. But the romantic love, like the one between husband and wife, is a one-on-one. And this is why we are only in love with our loving Heavenly Father, our loving Redeemer, and our loving Holy Spirit. This is highlighted in Revelations 21, verse 9 to 11, TBT. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the last seven plagues came to me and said, Come, I will show you the beautiful bride, the wife of the Lamb. He carried me away in the realm of the Spirit to the top of a great high mountain. There he showed me the holy city Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It was infused with the glory of God, and its radiance was like that of a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. So that is why I read this passage from Galatians 4 about the heavenly Jerusalem representing those of us who are living by faith. So I encourage you to be true to the lover of your soul, true to the Son of God, our bridegroom. And while we are waiting for the wedding feast of the Lamb, let us shine our lights